One has to put people like you away,
he struggled to say. Raising an eyebrow, I smiled. That's never going to happen, and if it were, it wouldn't be you. I've seen better-looking beef jerky.
I could have a wire,
he hissed out, and I rolled my eyes while reaching over to push on his wrapped skin. He cried out softly. You don't have a wire, and even if you did, I have a frequency jammer. If that didn't work, then I would kidnap your family until you confessed to tampering with evidence to falsely arrest me. I wasn't an idiot, and after all, we were in a hospital full of cops. His eyes narrowed.
Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Don't you have guilt? Or are you all just heartless, cold-blooded snakes? Your drugs killed dozens of people in this city alone. Just in 1 week. God knows how many people die in this country just so you can make a buck. Y'all are sick. How the hell do you sleep at night?
Who did you lose? I asked him, taking a sip of coffee. His words didn't bother me.
You don't give a damn.
Nope, not at all. I smiled. You see, you're blaming me for something that isn't my fault. Do you blame a bartender for giving someone a drink? No, because he's supplying a demand. No one is forcing anyone to do or take anything. Whoever died, it was on them and their family. They should have gotten their shit together. Their family could have stood by them. Instead, you looked for someone to blame.
You must be fucked up in the head to think like that. There ain't any justification for what you people do.
He snapped, looking away.
You insult us more by pretending you're good Catholic folk. You don't care about God. I don't think you even believe in him.
I do. I care about God and I do believe in him. I really did. However, I know why I was created. God needs me. What would happen if there weren't people like me? If the world were perfect, if everything was the way you wished it to be, then why would you pray? God needs me, because without us, you forget about him. He's on my side, not yours.
We will see about that. The commissioner has his eye on you all. He won't rest until you're all in jail.
Then I'll rip out his eyes and put him 6 feet under. You should thank God you're in here, because after tomorrow, Chicago will never be the same. You can tell the commissioner I said that. I replied, leaving the coffee cup with my lipstick imprint on the counter before turning to leave. By the way, I slept perfectly fine last night. It's all about the thread count. I smiled at him once before leaving. Chicago would burn, and they would know it was their fault. Once the smoke cleared and the dust settled, we would rebuild. We would own this motherfucking city. Stepping into the corner, I placed a call. Put Officer Pope and his family on the list.
Yes, ma'am.
Courage is the power to let go of the familiar. Raymond Lindquist. Cedric, I believe your son and his wife just dismissed me. My nose flared as I clutched onto the phone in my hands.
Why is it whenever they do something wrong, they magically become mine?
My wife asked as she dressed.
Choose your words carefully, dear.
Walking up behind her, I grabbed her waist, pulling her to me. I ruled once. I was king. And yet my own children are dismissing me as if I were a butler. When did I fall so far? She laughed, turning back to me.
My dear, you were king, and when you were, no one could speak a word to you. Your word was law, and those around you listened. Neither your sons nor I could talk you out of anything you wished, but you gave up your crown because it no longer fit. In doing so, you agreed to allow Liam and Mel to rule how they wished.
They may bloody well destroy this family. I pouted as she kissed me.
Then let them. We have more than enough independently to leave and never be found if we wish. However, you and I both know they aren't destroying this family.
She was right, but I didn't like it. I just wish they would...
No, you promised me you would only get involved if they asked. They haven't, so stay the fuck out of it. You have done your part, I just want my husband.
Staring into her eyes, I nodded before grabbing hold of her shirt and ripping it from her body. Buttons popped off her like bullets. Then have him, because he definitely wants you. I whispered before ripping her bra off her as well. Her breast jiggled free, and I smirked to myself before taking him in my mouth. She moaned my name, and suddenly the last thing on my mind was children.
are their chaos.
Twenty-four.
We don't murder, we kill. You don't murder animals, you kill them.
Samuel Fuller.
Melody.
Flipping on the television, I couldn't help but smile.
3 weeks ago, Commissioner Patterson, you stood before us all and promised to make this city safe. You promised that you would put an end to the blood and corruption, but instead all you've done is made it worse. For 3 weeks, it has been raining blood. The death count is up to 27 that we know of. Most of them innocent people who just want to live their lives in peace. People are dying, left and right. You did this!
A man yelled out in the crowd.
My son was walking home from school. He walked that same path every day, and then...
A mother sobbed with a photo of her son in her hands.
27 in the suburbs, 54 in the city, 2 a day in the most poverty-stricken parts of the city. Commissioner Patterson, is this the new normal?
A reporter asked. Commissioner Patterson looked old, tired, and stressed as he tried to find the words.
The Chicago Police Department is...
The Chicago Police Department is no safer than we are. How many men and women have we lost in the last 3 weeks?
We have lost a total of 19 men in the line of duty.
Commissioner Patterson sighed. I could feel the defeat coming through the screen.
How can you keep us safe if you can't even keep your own people safe?
Is the FBI going to get involved?
Nope, I said aloud, and even if they did, I had more than a few friends I could call on.
Each of these instances has been at the hands of multiple criminals, leaving them up to the Chicago Police Department to solve. However, they will be consulting on many of the cases involved.
The commissioner stood firm.
Will the governor call for a state emergency?
Not if he wants to lose his next election. I'm sure he was a friend of the family's. Caroline held a function for him.
We are not at that point yet. I understand how frightened you all are, but please don't lose hope in us. It's what the people who are responsible for all this want.
Do you know who is responsible? Some have speculated that this is because of the Irish mob. Others say there was a breakout at the county jail.
I wanted to listen to his reply. However, I was distracted by the man kissing my neck from behind. Leaning into him, I allowed myself to relax.
Keeping an eye on our city,
he whispered when he came up for air. Wrapping his arms around me, he pulled me in closer. The commissioner seems stressed. I smirked, reaching up to run my hand through his hair.
Without the murders, robberies, and bad press, I would be stressed as well.
He snickered. Turning me to him, his eyes went straight to my breasts, but that's what I got for standing in my underwear as I watched the news. Like what you see? I whispered to him while pulling on his tie. His eyes were coated with lust before he shook his head clear.
Yes. Very much so. And as much as I would enjoy making you scream my name until your voice cracked, we have a very important wedding to go to.
You're turning down sex for a wedding.
It's not just any wedding, love.
He pouted.
It's Sage and Amory's wedding, which means...
Which means you get to sit and eat their food and drink wine while our men fuck them across the ocean.
And I don't want to be late for a moment of it.
Stepping closer to him, I retied the bow tie around his neck. Of course not. Who would like to have sex when they could watch Vance lose control? Who knows when that could happen again? You won't be having sex with anyone for a while either, but still. I kissed him deeply, biting onto his lip before breaking away. His mouth dropped open as my words sunk in.
Sweetheart.
This body is now closed to you, husband. Stepping away from him, I turned to walk to my closet, but he pulled me back.
Let's not do anything rash,
he replied, lifting me up and throwing me onto the bed, crawling on top of me as he brushed my hair back. We don't have time. I smiled as he kissed me.
We're the guests of honor. We can make time,
he whispered, kissing from my lips to my cheek and then to my neck. Pushing up against him, I was able to flip him onto his back. Sitting on his waist, I stared into his eyes. You made your choice, husband. Now deal with it. I smirked as I ground my hips into him before rising, and sure enough, his hard-on was clear to the world.
Wife.
Husband. I smiled, and the moment I took off towards my closet, he leapt off the bed after me. Sadly, he was too slow, and I was able to lock myself in my closet.
Damn it!
He pounded on the door as I laughed. Calm the fuck down and finish getting dressed. I called out as I looked for the shoes I wanted to wear.
Take off your underwear. You won't be needing them tonight.
The fuck I will. You aren't getting shit from me. I replied, even though I couldn't stop grinning.
Fine then. I'll rip the bloody things off you.
His voice was fading and I rolled my eyes at him. Hearing the door close, I smiled to myself. In the last 3 weeks, my relationship with Liam had changed drastically. We no longer fought with each other about personal matters. Instead, most of our issues were with the job, and even those were few and far between. Sometimes our plan of attack didn't mesh well, and the only way we could settle it was to fuck it out. Neither of us complained about that, though. In fact, I was sure he disagreed with me sometimes just so we could have sex afterward, the little prick. Yet I found myself smiling more often because of him. I was happy, and that just seemed odd to me. He insisted we have our dates at least once a week. The first week was awkward, because I hated the word date, and neither of us did anything, really, except work. The second week, he brought me a snitch, a lower-level pawn who had been in the process of speaking with the police to get out of jail time. Too bad for him, we wiretapped all our men's phones. To make an example of him, I gave him embalming fluid to drink, and when he died, we made sure to ship his tongue to the commissioner. After that, Liam and I didn't come out of our room for 2 days. The date we had this week consisted of Liam and I both naked on our bed watching the local news. We had scheduled a hit on 3 officers and their families. "Ma'am, it's Adriana. I have your dress." Adriana knocked. Opening the door, I pulled the dress from the bag. "Perfect." I smiled, touching the satin of the dress.
"Liam." Stepping out of our bedroom, I tried to wipe the grin off my face. However, it was damn near impossible. I hadn't known before that I would have no other choice than to say I was in love with Melody Nietzsche Callahan. I loved how she broke people's noses, how she smiled whenever we killed someone. I loved the way she moaned my name when we made love, only to slap me afterward. She was ruthless in everything she did, and yet she could still manage to be open with me. We had both changed. I felt like I had known her for a lifetime, and not just a few weeks. "So, I'm guessing by your smile that all is well in your bloody wonderland," Cedric asked me as I reached the study. He was decked to the nines like myself, and seemed just as excited as I was, despite the fact that he didn't know any of our plans. "Yes, father," I said, stepping into the study. "All is well in our bloody wonderland. In fact, the adventure is just beginning." He sighed, taking a seat in front of the desk. "Must you torture me, boy, or will you tell me what's going on? Half the city is covered in blood and the other half is afraid of its shadow. Both you and Melody insisted that we attend this mockery of a wedding. However, neither Neil nor Declan are going to be in attendance. You always said I was impatient. If so, I see where I get it from," I replied, pouring myself a glass of wine. "I'm guessing you and Melody are no longer shooting at each other. For now, my wife's opinion of me changes more often than the tide. She may shoot me tomorrow if I tell her I dislike her gun collection. But, at this moment, are you asking as my father or as a Cana Canarsa?" I cut him off leaning into my chair, because it was my chair and not his. Kicking my feet onto the desk, I watched as his eyes narrowed at my shoes. He used to hate it when I placed my feet on his desk as a teen, but he couldn't say anything now. "I'm asking as a father. Son, are you happy with your wife?" "Yes, father. Everything is bloody and well in fucking Wonderland." I drank some more. She's bloody Melody. And perfect. God created her and then shattered the mould afterwards because the world could not handle two of her. Look who's become a poet. Hardly. It's a simple fact. My wife was a ruthless animal, and it only made her sexier. So then I could expect something to go terribly wrong at this wedding. He really wanted to know. It was almost sad. "I hope when I have a child I'm not in the predicament you're in." I laughed at him. "Knowing you, I doubt you'll allow your son or daughter to take the throne as easily as I did." He was joking. He had to be joking. "Bullshit! The amount of hell you put me through. I put you through hell so you could sit in that seat and call hell to you. In 3 weeks you've brought the city to its knees. He almost sounded jealous, but I also could hear the pride.
We, Melody and I, brought it to its knees. However, it's not bowing yet. The police commissioner is still holding out for hope to overcome the mess. A judge gave him the okay to place wiretaps on the house and our phones. I snickered. That was only after the first week. When was this?
It doesn't matter. I grinned, drinking again.
We had jammers and frequency scramblers placed throughout the house and then updated all the phones. Melody insisted that we make an example out of the judge. I waited for it to click in. After all, it had been all over the news that week. He shook his head as the realization hit him.
Judge Randall, they found him hanging from the bridge. I figured, but I didn't understand why.
I don't believe the commissioner has had any help with the cart since then. Because they were fucking smart.
And you both don't want to end him.
Oh, how the tide had turned.
And let another wannabe hero take his place. He's about to break, and when he does, his moral compass will either force him to take his life or he will just drink himself to death. Either way, I don't give two flying fucks. He picked a fight, and now he was going to lose.
Bloody Wonderland,
he said again with a smile. Before I could reply, there was a knock at the door.
Enter!
I called out, and in walked my mother, dressed in a beautiful long-sleeved green dress. You look beautiful, Mother, I said, standing up to greet her. She kissed my cheek.
Thank you, son. I came to tell you that there are two officers at our door. They're asking to speak with you. I thought I would let you know personally. This is the third time, Liam. I'm not pleased.
Rule 16. Never displease your mother. Call my wife.
No need.
Melody stepped inside, making me want to drop to my knees and kiss her feet. She was an absolute vision in the long, strapless, white dress she wore. She looked like a goddess or an angel, and I felt lucky just to stand before her.
Father, Mother, thank you.
However, my wife and I have some business to attend to. We shall meet you at the wedding.
Please send the officers in.
My Mel replied as she walked, more like glided, towards me. Taking her hand, I kissed it once my parents were gone. You look beyond beautiful.
Save your flattery and tell me where we are going to kill these sons of bitches for returning here.
She glared as she fixed my hair. There was another knock at the door, and I smirked at her.
Let's find out.
I grinned, walking to my desk.
Enter!
Sadly, it wasn't the commissioner, but his Smokey the Bear sidekick, along with another broad-shouldered man with orange hair.
No commissioner. I'm insulted.
I turned to Mel, who only glared at them.
The city is a bit too chaotic for him to make it,
Smokey said.
As you know, I...
We don't care. What do you want?
Mel asked, looking at the younger man next to Smokey. We're here to wave the white flag, the orange-haired man declared. I felt my brow rise and a smirk curl my lip. When I looked over to Mel, she frowned. Of course she would. White flags weren't her forte. Stepping towards the man, I looked him over.
You're Irish?
Yes, Mr. Callahan.
Who the fuck forgot to recruit you?
I snickered. Most of all the Irish born natives in the damn state worked for me in some form. He glared at me. I wanted to be the first of my family to do right by the law. Well then, as you can see, we're on our way out. Mel replied, stepping toward me.
We will speak to the commissioner at a later time. You both found your way in. I believe you know your way out. Please give Officer Pope and his family my regards.
They couldn't speak, and that may have been due to the fact that she looked sinfully beautiful in white, or because Officer Pope and his family were no longer alive. They nodded with rage building in their eyes. The door slammed once they exited. She turned to me and frowned, straightening my tie again.
You know they were lying, right?
Yes. And what do we do with lawyers? I asked, my hands on her hips. She smiled as well, reaching into my tuxedo jacket to pull out my phone.
Monty, two officers should be leaving the premises. Please make sure to escort them back to the station. You and I both know how tricky those high bridges can be.
I watched her mouth as she spoke, and I wanted nothing more than to kiss the breath from her lips. She noticed once she hung up and placed her finger on them.
Candy store is still closed.
She glared.
After all, you wanted to see Vance's face instead.
Love, she didn't even allow me to finish before she walked away. Damn it all to hell. Vance better fucking cry and piss in his fucking pants.
Melody. Shoot me, please. I groaned as I watched Amory and Sage kiss. It was like they were trying to suck the skin off each other's faces.
Not before you shoot me.
Liam whispered back. His eyebrows wouldn't stop twitching, and had it only been us, I would have laughed over it. However, it wasn't just us. We were surrounded by at least 300 of Vance's closest family and friends. The wedding was so boring that Liam and I spent most of our time texting Declan and Neil for updates. But it was game time now. Taking our seat at table 5 with the rest of the Callahans, we waited for the text message signaling it was done. However, the true fireworks didn't start until Vance got the call. I was tempted to tell them myself. However, Vance still thought I was some little lamb unaware of the world around me. He was a fucking idiot. From Sage's letters, he must have known I was the child spared on the plane. However, he still didn't see me as a threat. Black, red, and white just doesn't seem right for this time of year. Coraline frowned as she looked around the wedding hall. Yes, I replied, looking Olivia up and down. Adding red to the color scheme was a bad choice. Olivia's blue eyes narrowed on me. So is wearing white to another woman's wedding. There are very few people I consider to be women. Sage is a snake, I said, taking a sip of my water. Don't ask what I consider you to be. Evelyn sighed while Liam snickered. Cedric was too busy checking his watch. He was dying to see what was going to happen as well.
There's no hope for you two, is there?
Evelyn asked Olivia and me.
Not if she keeps harming my husband and then forcing him on assignments when he should be by my side,
Olivia said. Olivia, snap at me again and you won't have a husband. In fact, I would just as soon kill you and move on. You're not worth anything anyway, so do us all a favor and sit in the corner like a good little trophy. I rolled my eyes at her as Liam's phone went off. Tilting it to me, I watched as a very expensive-looking house, along with one too many cars, went up in flames. The cameras caught every angle of the house, including two women banging on the door, trying to free themselves. And they are?
Apparently, Vance and Amory shared two special friends.
Liam snickered, and I could see the reflection of fire in his green eyes. That's disgusting. Sage should be thanking me. The thought made me want to puke in my mouth.
She's calling someone,
Cedric said. Liam and I looked over to him and tried not to laugh. She had switched seats with Evelyn just to see the fucking phone. Evelyn looked to me and winked, drinking her wine.
I think I know who,
Caroline said, causing us all to follow her gaze to Vance, who was in the middle of giving his son a speech. He glanced at his phone for a moment before going on.
It is for this reason I would like to welcome my daughter, Sage Valero, to the family. May she and my son make us all proud.
Everyone but us applauded loudly. When Vance gave the microphone to Jane, I believe her name was, Sage's maid of honor, he went to answer his phone. Sadly, it was too late because Liam and I could see that the woman had passed out, probably due to the smoke. Putting his phone away, Liam took my hand and kissed it as we watched Vance listen to his messages. His back was turned, but the moment he hung up after placing another call, he turned to us. His eyes were wide and deadly. All the emotion he had had during the wedding was gone. All that was left was the monster. It looked like he'd squeezed the phone so hard the screen cracked. Liam smirked and gave him a short nod, as if they were friends. Do you think he's angry?
One can only hope, love.
Entertaining indeed,
Cedric sneered, leaning back into his chair.
That was only the first course, father.
Liam grinned, and I couldn't wait for dessert.
Liam, I didn't make a habit of smoking. However, this damn wedding had gone on for far too long. Amory was now fully aware, which meant his new wife was as well. The tension between us, as we pretended to be nothing more than guests, was boiling under the surface. Even the way Sage cut her steak, which was so rare it looked like it was dripping blood, seemed to antagonize us. She glared at Mel with so much hatred even Olivia had to look away. My Mel smiled as if she hadn't noticed. I knew she had, though. The clicking noise under the table as she loaded her gun with one hand was proof enough. So, I took a small smoking break inside the bathroom stall like I was still in high school. Neil and Declan had been my role models until the point my mother found them and beat their asses so badly they couldn't sit. That was the last time either of them smoked. I, on the other hand, had never been caught. Maybe Mel could beat it out of me.
Did you see Callahan's bitch?
A voice called out from the other side of the stall.
The Italian wench in white?
Another replied, as I felt myself freeze.
But I wouldn't give to fuck the shit out of her tight pussy.
I would ride the fuck out of her until she broke down like a good little cunt whore.
Then...
He didn't get to finish for the simple fact that I stepped out of the stall and put a bullet in the back of his friend's head. The body fell into the urinal he was pissing in. The man beside him, how dare he call my wife a whore, cunt and bitch, stood with his pants down in shock. I knew him. He was Amory's best man, Alex. He turned to me, opening his mouth to speak, but I took the liberty of grabbing him by his hair and smashing his head against the marble above the urinal.
That Italian wench is my fucking wife!
I yelled, using his head as a hammer against the wall.
You don't talk of her as you piss!
Slam.
You don't talk of her, period. You don't call her anything but fucking Mrs. Callahan.
Slam.
And you sure as fuck don't talk of her with your fucking hand on your dick. Slam. Slam. Slam.
Releasing his head, which was covered in blood and brain matter, I watched as his body fell to the ground. He most likely died after the first two hits in the wall, but all I could fucking see was red. I wanted his head to come off his fucking shoulders. Sighing, I turned to the mirror to find my suit covered in blood. With a groan, I reached into my jacket and pulled out my phone.
Eric, I need a new suit as fast as possible.
I told him as I washed the blood from my hands. Looking down, I noticed the blood spreading across the marble floor and onto my fucking shoes.
Damn it! Get me new shoes as well.
Hanging up, I dried my hands and stared at the bodies all around me, just as another fool stepped in. He froze, looking first at the blood and then to me. Anger issues, I said to him, reaching for my gun. Step into my office. He tried to turn and run, but I shot him right in the spine and his legs gave out. Guess he won't be stepping anywhere, huh? I asked him, before blowing a hole through his face. Again, the blood spattered onto my hands and I couldn't help but groan once more. Say what you made me do, I asked the dead man before locking the door and rewashing my hands. The worst things happened when you smoked, but thank God for silencers, I thought to myself.
Melody. When Liam sat back down, he kissed my cheek. I looked him over quickly and something didn't seem right. Did you change? It looked like the same suit, but only fresher, like he hadn't been wearing it all day.
Why would I do that?
He asked me, but there was a glint in his eye. Don't play coy with me. He smirked, kissing me once more and whispering,
Later, love.
So what's next on the menu?
Cedric asked as he wiped the corners of his mouth. Evelyn smacked on his chest.
Will you stop? You're like a child at Disneyland.
Bloody Wonderland, actually.
Liam said, his mouth turning up at the corner. I wasn't sure what that meant, but Cedric did, and I guess that was all that mattered. Liam and I have to say hello before any more excitement occurs. I smiled as Liam and I stood. Sage and Amory must have had the same idea, because they were walking right to us. We met in the middle of the dining hall. Mr. and Mrs. Valero, congratulations. You and this wedding were beautiful. I smiled, reaching out for Sage's hand.
Thank you, Mrs. Callahan.
Sage smiled back, shaking my hand.
And kudos to you for wearing white and not caring what people think of you.
My family's opinion is all that matters to me. Which was bullshit because only my opinion, and sometimes Liam's, mattered to me.
Yes, our apologies about your father, then.
Amory bit his lip at me with lust in his eyes. He reached over to shake my hand, but Liam grabbed his wrist and forced him to shake his.
I'm quite possessive,
he told him.
I'm sorry about your best man.
I looked to him confused for a quick moment before Amory and Sage scanned the room quickly.
What did you...
Thank you so much for the lovely evening. However, Liam and I aren't fireproof. I interrupted. Sage turned to me, confused once more. What?
Fire!
Someone yelled behind us, and sure enough, flames were breaking out above us.
What a shame. You should try to save your gifts. The big one's usually a blender.
Liam grinned. The room broke out in panic. The people looked like animals trying to leave a watering hole. They tripped, pushed, and pulled at one another to make it out of the doors.
You want war? I will fucking give you war!
Amory roared at us.
It's always been war. Don't cry just because you're losing.
Liam's lips turned up into a slow smile.
I'm going to fucking kill you!
Sage yelled at us. We're looking forward to seeing you try. Oh, and by the way, I lied. Your dress is hideous. And this wedding? I gestured around me. Well, it sucked so badly that even the devil couldn't stand to look at it.
You little...
Ma'am, we have to go. A guard of theirs yelled as she pulled them away. Liam and I stared around as the fire spread.
Have you both lost your minds?
Olivia screamed over the chaos of the room. So many people, so few doors.
Liam!
Evelyn and Coraline yelled while Cedric watched in glory. He knew we wouldn't be stupid enough to trap ourselves.
Enough!
Liam snapped at them, and I saw the flames in his eyes again. It turned me on, I couldn't deny that. Taking my hand, we nodded at them to follow us. Everyone was so busy trying to run to the front door, they didn't even notice us. Liam pushed open a small part of the wall we'd had installed after discovering their wedding location. The moment it opened, Declan and Neil stepped through. Coraline and Olivia both ran into their husband's arms, and I felt tempted to roll my eyes.
Save it, let's go.
The men, being Callahan men, made sure the girls went through first. However, I waited at the door for Liam. He was the last to exit, and as we closed the door, we met the eyes of Vance as his men tried to pull him away. I smiled at him before giving him the middle finger just as Liam shut it completely. Turning back to me, he grinned.
So mature.
You're jealous you didn't do it. I nearly let out a giggle as we walked through the underground tunnel.
Next time. I really hope he doesn't die.
He pouted, looking back as we reached the lake. There was a boat waiting for us. No, he isn't going to die. He's too big of an ass to die so easily. I shared the amusement in his eyes as he helped me onto the boat.
I swear you're both pyromaniacs.
Declan laughed as he handed us a glass of champagne. Looking back at the mansion behind us, I couldn't help but agree.
Where to, sis?
Neil yelled from the steering wheel. Olivia hugged him as he moved us further and further away from the home. The city, Liam and I said together. Everyone broke into their own private conversations, giving me time to turn to Liam. It's later. He rolled his eyes.
There was a little hiccup in the bathroom. It got messy. I killed three men and had to change. Nothing major.
You need to control your temper. I leaned in to kiss him.
One of these days I will. Maybe.
He kissed me back. Motherfucking day made.
My husband and I have never considered divorce. Murder sometimes, but never divorce. Joyce Brothers. Olivia. So you're okay with what just happened? I wasn't even sure where to begin. Neil didn't even respond. Instead, he started to change out of his tuxedo. Neil?
What, Olivia? What?
He yelled, throwing his tie onto the bed. Don't you what me? We just set a mansion on fire.
You didn't do shit. Melody and Liam did.
He interrupted me as he walked into the closet. Exactly. And it was wrong. How many people just died? He was acting like he didn't care, but this had to bother him. I was so angry I wanted to just kill them all. He looked at me like I was insane.
That's the job, Olivia. I don't give a shit about who died. I'm not paid to give a shit. This family is all I care about, and you know that, so save me your bull about the innocent.
Crossing my arms across my chest, I glared at him and bit my tongue to stop myself from saying what it was I really wanted to say.
They are reckless and callous, which isn't a good combination. They have no idea what they're doing. You sell drugs. You are not murderers. How old is Melody? 24? 25? She walks around like she owns the goddamn world. I hated her the fucking most.
Because she does.
He snapped, stomping out of the closet and into my face. No, she doesn't, and neither does Liam. He shouldn't even be Kana Kanarta. You should be. This is all fucked up. They treat you like you're a fucking dog. They treat us all like we're their fucking pets. She shot you twice. And each time you defend them. You are the oldest. You are the strongest. You should be Kana Kanarta. There, I fucking said it. He shook his head at me and sighed before taking a seat on the bed. I fell to my knees in front of him and kissed his hands. You have always allowed Liam to hold the past over you. Now his wife is doing the same, and she isn't even...
Enough, Olivia.
He replied so coldly I flinched.
Do you want to get a divorce?
My jaw dropped open as I stared at him. Neil, you can't... What? No, I don't want a fucking divorce. I got to my feet as he stared at me. He stood up and walked to my closet and started to pull out my things. Neil, what in seven hells are you doing? I don't want a divorce, I yelled again, trying to stop him.
That's the only way I know how to protect you. We could get divorced. We would have to get you a new identity, and I would leave you enough money that you wouldn't have to worry. Once Melody and Liam found out, they would most likely have you killed. You speak French, right? France could be good for you. The shopping, the...
Shut up, you asshole! We have vows! I'm not divorcing you! I would rather have them kill me! His words stung, and I tried to fight the water that was building up in my eyes as he pulled me in and kissed me hard. But it was only when he broke away from my lips did he finally truly look at me. He kissed my forehead, and I stayed in his embrace. I loved his arms. I felt protected and loved and special.
I love you, Olivia. I truly do.
He whispered.
But I love my family more. If it came down to Melody and Liam and this family, I have to choose them. It's in my blood to choose them. I want you at my side, but you have to understand that we are family and we are pawns. Melody and Liam rule, which means when they call, you answer. They tell you to jump and you try to reach the sky.
Neil? He pulled back so I could stare into his eyes.
No. Listen to me, Olivia. Just because I'm firstborn does not give me any right to be Kana Kanarta. I don't want to be Kana Kanarta. Melody and Liam were born on the dark side of the moon. They enjoy this life. They watch people born in their beds. When they aren't doing that, they make sure needles stay in people's arms and coke in their noses. That is all they do, all the time. It's what you do when you're Kana Kanarta. I watched our father go half mad because of what he was forced to do. I've watched my mother dip herself in cement just so she could stand beside him and not break. She wasn't always so tough. This life changes us. It forces us to become cold-blooded and not to care for anyone but the family. I handle being a sidekick because I don't want to walk so deeply in the dark. I do not want us to walk so deeply in the dark.
So what am I supposed to do? I hissed, breaking out of his hands. Bow down to them as though they are king and queen? He looked at the clothes on the ground and then at me.
You have three options. Bow, hide, or die, Olivia. So yes, you'll bow down and kiss the ring like we all do. You will jump when they ask, come when they call, and do anything else it takes. Or you can be packed by the time I get back.
He walked past me and towards the door before turning again.
I knew when you married me that you loved the idea of power just as much as you did me. I knew you wanted all of the things that came with being a Callahan. I've tried to give it all to you, but you need to understand, Olivia, you are not the queen. You are the princess. You will always be the princess. You may wear a tiara, but it will never be as big or shiny as Melody's. Hopefully you love me enough to just be a princess.
Neil, he slammed the door. I do love you, I whispered to myself. Falling to my knees, I gathered my things and put them back in the closet. Tracing my tattoo on my wrist, I sighed. He was right. I did love the idea of power when we got married. I was so excited to be marrying a Callahan, and Neil Callahan at that. I thought all my pain would go away.
but in the back of my mind I could still hear his voice sometimes. He was like this never-ending part of me that wouldn't go away. No matter how many times I tried to wash him off me, he was still there. I married Neil for a lot of reasons. First, because I really did love him. And second, because I knew he wouldn't dare come after me as a Callahan. I thought I could have it all. The fame, the husband, and the protection. Neil thought it was his fault we couldn't have children. But the truth was, it was mine. It was because of what the monster and his friends did to me. They broke me. Even after all this time, I still couldn't speak about it. I felt disgusted with myself, and at first I thought Neil would be too. I knew better now. I knew he loved me, which is why I knew he would hunt him down. I just didn't know if I was ready to face that darkness yet. Melody had taken the seat I wanted, but I had Neil. I still hated her, but I had Neil, and I wasn't ready to lose him yet either. So, I would bow and kiss the fucking ring. XXVI. Truth will come to sight. Murder cannot be hid long. William Shakespeare. Melody. I hate you, I hissed again as I ate my French toast. Liam rolled his eyes, flipping the files in front of him.
We're in public, sweetheart.
They can all fuck themselves with these dull knives for all I bloody care. I looked around his favorite restaurant to find at least 10 pairs of eyes staring at us as if we were some kind of movie stars. Well, we were some kind of stars, but it was still annoying as fuck.
Careful, they may stop seeing you as America's darling.
His lips quirked up and he took another sip of his coffee in disdain. I knew he would prefer brandy, and right now, so would I. They can have their fake darlings back after we dump Amory and Sage's bodies in one of the Great Lakes, I said in Irish.
Patience, love.
Gripping the knife in my hand, I felt my nostrils flare. To hell with patience. It's been 4 months since their wedding. Since then, they have burned half our fields in Mexico, killed 7 of our men in Italy, and cut off 30% of our weed from the east. Which, you should know, costs us about $100 million every week. I want their heads on a stake, and I want it fucking yesterday. But somehow you fucking convinced me to wait. So fuck you, and fuck them, and fuck this goddamn hat I have to fucking wear. I wanted to take off the giant yellow sun hat and throw it at him, but that would bring too much attention to myself. Pinching the bridge of my nose, I tried to breathe. The past 4 months had been an all-out war. The Valero were coming at us with everything they had. We had expected as much. However, with the cops now watching us more than ever, our actions were limited. The Valero were most likely behind that as well, but right now I was ready to bomb the police station, kill the Valero, and move on. But instead, I was in a stupid 5-star restaurant waiting on the motherfucking Real Housewives of Chicago for some charity shit.
First, that is a lot of fucks. Second, your hat is nice.
He laughed quietly as I glared.
And we will find an opening soon. However, right now, the plan that we came up with last night is the one we're sticking with.
I was high off sex and I couldn't think straight. I snapped, drinking the sorry excuse for tea they offered me.
But that is where all our master plans are created.
Really? Isn't that where you came up with the plan to pump more heroin into Boston? Now the mayor is involved. He leaned back in his chair with no care in the world.
That's only because his aged daughter went and overdosed. He's busy blaming dealers as if we held the needle to her arm. His bad parenting is apparently our fault. Mayor or no mayor, it was a good idea. The demand is growing.
Liam, I sighed, pinching the bridge of my nose. We keep going like this, we're going to be stretched too thin. We can't fight Chicago and Boston with Valero still screwing us. The mayor is going to be doubling down his efforts to trace it.
Fine,
he hissed, leaning in.
We stay neutral for now. We have a shipment coming in tonight that I will redirect and hold. But the moment the Valero are out of this picture, we are pushing hard.
Deal. In the meantime, we can up the weed. The shit is almost legal anyway, and both coasts are addicted. Weed was as good as gold now. We sold to medical pharmacies where it was legal, and small street gangs where it wasn't.
Then it's settled.
He paused, causing me to look over at the door where Commissioner Andrew fucking Patterson made his way towards us.
Who do you call when it's the police who are stalking you? I sighed, looking over to Liam, who glared at the man approaching.
Us.
Commissioner Andrew fucking Patterson placed two silver badges on the table, causing Liam and me to share a quick glance.
Shiny.
Liam snickered, taking a sip of his coffee.
Is there a reason why you're putting that filth on my table?
Patterson looked like he had at least aged 10 years in the last 4 months.
The officers your men killed today were fresh out of the academy.
You should be careful of what you accuse people of, Commissioner. I hissed, looking around the room once more. No one could hear us, but he was being fucking stupid.
You even had their families killed, didn't you?
He laughed bitterly, ignoring me completely.
Commissioner, a 6-year-old girl now has no family thanks to you. I know you're the ones behind Pope and Jeffrey. You people are sick. You will burn in hell. Commissioner, have you lost your mind?
Liam yelled, standing up as two guards walked towards us.
Maybe I have.
The man yelled as the guards held him back.
But you won't remain untouchable forever. One day someone is going to make you pay for all your crimes. Get this man out of here, he's upsetting my wife.
Liam screamed as the guards pulled him away. Upsetting me? Fuck that. This shit was funny as hell. But I could play the damsel in distress, I guess.
Fucking Callahans won't be in power forever. Just wait. Someone is going to pay you back tenfold and I will laugh, you monsters.
He said, like the Joker on shrooms.
Get him out.
Liam roared again, while I placed my hand on my heart like a good damsel in distress. When he was gone, the manager ran towards us, bowing so low you would think he was trying to kiss Liam's cock. Jeez, since when did we live in Japan?
I'm so sorry, Mr. Callahan. Please.
It's not a problem. Please, just keep that man away from our family.
Liam said before taking a seat back down. He waited for the room to return to order before staring at me with hard eyes.
You were the one who ordered it.
He asked me in Irish. Yes. I replied back, unsure about why he looked like I was the one he wanted to kill. He pinched the bridge of his nose.
You let the girl live.
Sitting up straighter, I glared back. She wasn't home, and I wasn't going to hunt her down. She is 6 fucking years old.
Then you should have waited until she was home.
He hissed, moving to the edge of his chair.
I don't care if she was 6 or 26. She is his family and therefore should be dead.
You make it seem like that one girl has any power. I snapped back at him. He needed to calm the fuck down before I stabbed him here and now. He stared at me as if I had lost my mind.
She's the daughter of a cop. A blue blood. She isn't a threat now, but what about in 20 years when she's out of the academy? She will be like a bloodhound looking for revenge. Children grow up. And unless you know something I don't, we're going to be around in 20 years. I will not have the past bite us in the ass. After all, look at you.
You were 6 once. And what happened to you then changed your life forever.
You're the last person I ever thought I'd have to explain who we are or what we do.
He stood up and kissed me on the side of the cheek harshly, for those who might still be watching, before whispering in Irish,
"Stay here. My mother has arrived. I will take care of it."
He fucking sounded disappointed in me. Who does this motherfucking bitch think he is? Did he just sit me? I was the fucking boss, and I sure as hell didn't take orders. Before I could shoo him out, Coraline, Olivia, and Evelyn walked in with a whole group of other charity women. Each of them smiled and laughed as though they were breathing a different sort of air.
"Ladies, isn't my youngest handsome?"
Evelyn said, giving him a big hug. Liam laughed, but it was his fake laugh, the one he did for crowds.
"The most handsome, some say."
They all laughed at him, while I eyed his skin, wondering where would be the best place to impale him.
"The cockiest as well."
Evelyn grinned.
"I shall take that compliment."
He winked at a few of the older ladies, forcing me to act like an embarrassed wife and smack him in the chest. I was not in the mood to play this stupid game. "We've had our breakfast. Honey, don't you have business to take care of?" I dug my nails into his skin, but the bitch didn't even flinch.
"You all had breakfast already?"
Coraline asked us, looking to our table as waiters cleared it and added a new table to make room.
"Sorry, ladies. Only God knows when I'll get to see her again after she disappears with you all. I had to at least start my morning with her."
Liam charmed his way into the cougar's arms. They eyed him like he was a god himself.
Both his facial expressions and his words made me want to puke.
Young love.
Olivia laughed, causing me to glare at her. Goodbye, Liam.
It's already begun.
Liam laughed, kissing my hand.
I know when I'm not wanted.
The woman awed as he left, and I tried my best to actually look flattered, but my face just wouldn't have it. Evelyn, Olivia, and Caroline all seemed to notice. Smiling at them, I took a seat as the other women all took theirs.
Ladies, welcome to the 17th annual WEW, Women Empowering Women.
A peppy blonde announced once the ladies were seated.
I would like to thank Mrs. Caroline Callahan for once again hosting us all here. Thank you so much for everything you do.
I glanced at her, but she didn't meet my gaze. 2 steps forward, 6 steps back for Cora. How often do they hold these meetings? I whispered to Evelyn as everyone clapped.
First Saturday of every month. You've missed quite a few.
Olivia replied before Evelyn could speak, and right on cue the peppy blonde turned to me.
Please give a WEW welcome to the newest member, Mrs. Melody Callahan. We all know how the first year of marriage is.
They turned to me, and I forced myself to smile and blush at the plastic army in front of me. Be happy you missed so many, Evelyn whispered, causing Olivia and Caroline to snicker. It took a while, but finally all the women were so caught up in their conversations that I no longer had to force myself to pay attention. They had to be the saddest and most desperate women I had ever met. None of them cared about the charity. They only cared about upstaging each other in who had more money to give just to prove how rich they are. None of them could hold a candle to any wife of a Callahan. However, they all wanted to come in second place. So, if they had to feed the starving villages to be thought highly of, they would do it. Caroline shifted for the 19th time since she sat down, causing me to look her over quickly. I could tell a lot had changed in her. Her arms and legs were more toned, and she seemed much more alert and capable now. She had even cut her hair down some more, but despite all that, she still looked beautiful, almost a movie star kind of beauty.
Are you ready to be working with me next, Caroline?
I asked her softly. Her eyes went wide, and she grinned.
Are you serious?
She asked because she obviously didn't know who I was. I didn't joke around with things like that. I rarely joked at all, in fact. Adriana said you're getting too used to her, so yes, I am serious.
Yeah, first I would have to talk to Declan.
What?
Declan. She said again with a frown. When I told him, he kind of laughed it off, and we haven't talked about it much. But I think that's because he doesn't see Adriana as anything to get worried about.
You, on the other hand. I'm something to worry about, I added, placing Declan on my Callahan ass-kicking list. Have you tried making him listen? She looked at me like I was crazy. You do know you are a woman, correct? I smirked. Grab handcuffs, make him hard, tell him what you want to tell him, and then leave him there to think about it.
I could never do that. Declan would be so
horny, which you can use to your advantage. You are a motherfucking Callahan woman. You do what you want. If you want to train with me, you train with me, and if Declan doesn't like it, remind him of the days when all he had was his hand. I was dead serious, although Olivia was laughing beside me. For all the improvement Coraline was enjoying, I was shocked she was still hiding behind this shell.
Mel, I'm not like you.
No one is like me, but that's not the point. I interrupted, and I would keep interrupting until she found the balls to stop me.
It's just that I don't know how to be this strong person. Declan means the world to me, and I don't want to hurt him or lose him.
She whispered, and I was tempted to drown myself in my soup.
If you keep focusing on how lucky you are to have Declan, then you're going to forget how lucky he is to have you. Imagine you're a princess and then demand to be treated like one.
Olivia replied, and I was a little confused. Since when did I get on the same page as the blow-up doll?
All my sons need to be knocked upside their heads every once in a while.
Evelyn gave one of her motherly smiles. Or shot. I smiled, causing Evelyn to glare at me, and I simply shrugged. It was true. Bullets spoke louder than words.
Melody, do you mind if we speak in private?
Olivia asked me, oddly polite. I glanced over at Caroline and Evelyn, who seemed just as shocked. Nodding, I stood and waited for her to follow as I headed to the women's bathroom.
Taking off the stupid hat, I placed it on the counter before turning to her. Speak. I wanted to apologize for my hostility and for being a rude, immature bitch, I asked, crossing my hands. Her eyes narrowed at me, and it looked like she was trying her best to bite her tongue.
Yeah, for that too.
I won't accept your apology until I know why you're offering it. I turned back to the mirror and attempted to fix my hair.
Because that is what grown people do. We apologize when we're wrong.
She snapped, before taking a deep breath.
Well, I'm calling bullshit.
I smiled. You see, when people apologize and mean it, they don't need privacy. So I'm guessing Neil put you up to this. What did he say to make you humble yourself?
He...
Don't lie to me, Olivia. I am much better at it than you, and I have no problem breaking your head against this mirror. You could take a little drive to Westridge and ask Natasha if you don't believe me. I couldn't kill her, but I hated liars, and I would make that clear. She stared at me wide-eyed and nodded.
Fine. A few months ago, Neil and I talked about it. I've been trying to stay out of your way, but I know we're going to have to speak sometime. I just... Neil wants me to make peace. I love Neil, so I will do it.
What is it with you all in bending to what your husbands want? They really were Stepford wives.
It's called love, Melody.
She snapped at me once again.
When you love someone, all you want is for them to be happy. That doesn't make you weak, and that doesn't make you an idiot. Liam is head over heels in love with you. He would die for you, and yet you cringe at the thought of it. Coraline and I are not G.I. Janes, and we can't walk on the dark side of the moon and come back okay. But at least neither of us are scared of love. So I'm saying sorry once again.
I have to go home to my husband, have amazing sex, and see him smile. She said nothing else before walking out. When she did, I turned to the mirror and stared at myself. I remembered a time when my life was so much easier.
Liam, most people, a lot of people, would be disgusted with what I did tonight. They would call me a monster, tell me I was heartless or cruel. But none of them knew the life that I lived, nor did they walk down the same dimly lit streets as me. I was head of the family. I was Cana Canarsa, which meant it fell on my shoulders to protect this family from past, present and future nuisances. All you had to do was watch an old mafia movie to see how one loose end brought down some of the greatest empires that ever was. Rule 2. Take no prisoners and have no regrets about it. Anyone we captured were either killed or flipped to our side and used for intel. But after we got what we needed, they were killed anyway. Any man who can flip on his boss once can do it again. What made the Callahan successful is that we had evolved past all the mistakes that had brought other greats down. We didn't cheat on our wives. We didn't do any of the smack or drugs that we sold. Those two things alone were things the mafia world was known for. However, it was also the first thing that brought him down. Everyone stayed clean, even the men closest to us. The men of our family had worked too hard to become what they were today for some junkie to snitch to the police to save his skin. Wives were key, because if you treated them right, they would live and die for you. I had no regrets for what I did. I didn't kill because I was a sick, twisted motherfucker. Everything was for the betterment of the family. Sighing, I played away on my piano. I came back late and didn't feel like dealing with Mel or anyone else for that matter. I thought she understood, but she wrote it off like it was nothing. She was too focused on Amory and Sage. Yes, they were a huge problem, but we needed to cover all our bases. Vance would just love it if we hung ourselves. He was trying to spread us out all over the globe. The more areas to cover, the more room for mistakes. I just needed to find an opening.
You're going to wear out the keys.
My wife called out behind me. But I couldn't bring myself to look at her. I knew whatever she was wearing tonight would leave me smitten. Fuck that. It would leave me fucking hungry for her. I just kept playing. I wasn't even sure what it was, I just played. However, with each step she took, I could feel her like a wave of warmth behind me. I knew when her hand was hovering right over my head, and I leaned into it without thinking. She ran her fingers through my hair before stepping onto the seat next to me. From there, she climbed onto the front of the piano, placing her legs on either side of me and forcing me to play while staring right at her. Damn her to hell. Mel,
do you love me?
She whispered, looking me dead in the eye. I froze. What could I say to that? If I lied, she would know.
If I told her the truth, she'd just push me away. So I just played. She slid down, the keys chiming as she hit them, until she was in my lap. Kissing me, she wrapped her legs around my waist.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. You don't have to say it back, I can wait. She took a deep breath and dropped her head down.